C-minus 70. Drive-in, Birchwood, Colorado. Inside the relatively quiet bar area of New Care Grillin' Bar and Grill, Emma and Clark sat alone at a small booth in the corner while Henry and his friends chatted merrily at the bar. The whole group had spent a few hours together, making the most of Phil Norris's offer of free drinks as Emma tried not to show her annoyance at the constant questions about what was really going on and what Timo Fiore was going to do about it. She understood the curiosity but struggled to hide her disappointment that a rare night out she'd hoped to use to blow off some steam had gone in this direction. Fortunately for Emma, as the night wore on and the beer kicked in, the trio of Henry, Phil, and Walter Byrd had gradually lost interest in all of that and returned to their usual intra-group ribbing and loud retellings of familiar stories from years and decades gone by. Clark would have been happy enough to stick with the guys, but saw the bored look on Emma's face and immediately announced that he wanted to move to the booth for a while to give his back a break from his bar stool. "We'll leave you old boys to your old stories for a while," he said. When he got Emma alone in the relatively private booth, the other patrons knew better than to get too close without asking, Clark repeated several times that he wasn't too hot on the idea of her going to Italy without him there to act as her security. He was also completely unwilling to leave Dan alone in Colorado, and well aware that Dan wouldn't entertain the idea of going to Italy, so it took a phone call with Timo to ease his mind with assurances that sufficient security would be in place. Emma appreciated Clark's concern, but told him that she wasn't stupid and would stick to the same rules as on their last visit to see Timo, including never getting inside a vehicle without him. Timo asked Clark a few general questions during their brief call and played coy when Clark asked him about Billy Kendricks's recent claim of a GSC cover-up. "It is true that they have all of the data gathered from orbital equipment," Timo said, "and it is true that I am not in a position to safely offer a bounty for a leak like I did last year. But having said that, Clark, I think we both know by now that the truth has a way of getting out, don't we?" Emma and Clark didn't discuss any of that business between themselves, focusing instead on more domestic matters, like how Clark was settling into his police work, and later on the firm rules that Emma had laid down for Tara. While picking up some empty glasses from another booth, Phil Norris overheard part of a laughter-filled story Emma was telling about Tara and pulled his bar stool towards them. Phil noticed Clark looking over at the other two empty bar stools and explained that Henry and Mr. Byrd were ordering some food from the grill. Phil, apparently starting to feel the effects of his own generous hospitality, waved his finger between the two of them while smiling like a loon. "You know what's funny," he said, chuckling long before he got there. "Now that Tara is back in town, if you all paired off, you boys could end up being brothers and brothers-in-law. Same for Emma and Tara, sisters and sisters-in-law." "That kind of thing might fly where they're from," Clark quipped. "But Birchwood ain't Georgia." Emma kicked him under the table, begrudgingly laughing along with him. "It might sound hard to believe," she said, "but Tara has done a lot worse than you." Clark, still a long way from feeling any loosening effects from all the free drinks, looked confused. "Obviously none of this is real, but why are you suddenly pairing me with Tara? She's pretty much the same age as Dan. Surely in Phil's imaginary world it would make more sense for me and—"
"I've got to have some standards," Emma cut him off.
This sent Phil into a fresh fit of roaring laughter, but Clark sat quietly and wondered whether Emma had just let something slip. He got his answer before too long, shortly after his decision to call it a night around 15 minutes before closing time, when his better judgment told him that Emma was in danger of reaching a point where she might let something else slip. Phil handed them an almost empty bottle as they left and said that they might as well finish it. Clark shook his hand and thanked him for the free night, while Phil merrily thanked him in return for sticking to the cheap stuff instead of ordering champagne or expensive whiskey. After the very short cab ride home, Emma saw that the light was on in her living room and invited herself into the McCarthy's house.
"I can't handle Tara right now,"
she explained, slightly unsteady on her feet as she followed Clark inside. Do you want some water? He asked as she took a seat at the familiar kitchen table. She shook her head, still holding the almost empty bottle.
Phil gave us this, and it was only supposed to be free for this one night.
Fair enough, Clark said. A few minutes later, he broke a silence that was awkward only from his relatively sober perspective by asking the most general question he could think of. So what's going on with Tara anyway?
I already told you. She invited a guy to my house without asking, Emma said.
Her eyes then widened in a sudden but oddly tired kind of way.
Wait a second. Do you know anyone called Debbie Butcher?
I know of her, Clark shrugged. I think she was in Dan's year at school. I didn't know her back then, obviously, because when I was their age, they were in middle school. I heard she moved back here from Texas or something last year. She left again, though, just to the city this time. Why are you asking?
Does Dan ever talk about her?
Clark let out a half-laugh, half-groan, and reached across the table for what was left in Emma's bottle. I think we've had enough of this for one night. Water? She nodded sleepily. Good choice, Clark said. And I'm only going to say this once, okay? I'm only going to say it once because it isn't exactly my area of expertise, and I'm only going to say it at all because I care about both of you. So here it is. None of us are in middle school anymore. If you've got something to tell Dan, you've got to tell Dan that thing. But only if you mean it, okay? Emma didn't answer. Clark turned around from the sink, glass of water in hand, and saw that her eyes were closed and her head was tipped peacefully forward. He gently lifted her from the armless kitchen chair and laid her down on the couch with her head propped up by two cushions. Henry returned from the now closed bar just as Clark was doing this. I think she just had a little bit too much of the bar, Clark explained. Henry was grinning from ear to ear. So did Phil, he laughed, holding up an unopened bottle of whiskey. He wouldn't let me leave without taking this.